production funding for Behind the Headlines is made possible in part by the WKNO Production Fund, the WKNO Endowment Fund, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
The future of MLG&W tonight on Behind the Headlines. I'm Eric Barnes with the Daily Memphian. Thanks for joining us. I am joined tonight by JT Young, President, CEO of MLG&W. Thanks for being here again.
Thank you.
Mark Halperin is an executive with Boyle Investment, serving on an advisory group that's working with MLGW on its future and some big decisions coming up. Doug McGowan, Chief Operating Officer of the City of Memphis. Thanks for being here again.
Thank you, Eric.
And Bill Dries is a reporter with the Daily Memphian. So I'll start with you, JT. You were on the show maybe a month, 2 months ago, something like that. We talked about it some there, but there's momentum now for MLG&W to move away from TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, as the primary source of electrical power. Tell us, it seemed, even that couple months ago, it seemed like it was kind of a thought. Now it seems like a very real possibility that you all are exploring. Why?
Well, one of the things that I'll sort of adjust that is to say that there's momentum around the evaluation of what's optimal for power supply. And so we're trying to make that decision, and that's why we've assembled this team of stakeholders to help us get the input that we need to move forward in the decision about where should we and how should we acquire the electricity for our customers at the most reasonable cost and the best reliability. So we're trying to go through the process that's known, I think we talked about it before, as Integrated Resource Plan, an IRP, which is standard in the utility industry to make those kinds of decisions. And we're embarking on the first ever IRP for MLGW.
And we'll dig into some of the potential cost savings and some of the risks and the benefits and the timeline on this in a second. So we'll come back to you on that. But I want to get Doug to get you in. The city's role in this is what? Because MLGW is an independent entity, but you're, I think, very much part, you and the mayor and the mayor's office are very much part of that decision-making assessment process?
Well, absolutely. It's important that the city be involved. It's the Memphis Light, Gas, and Water Division of the City of Memphis, and obviously they have some statutory authority to run the utility, but it is a publicly owned utility, the largest publicly owned three utility service in the country. And that is an asset that is very important to the City of Memphis. It's important to the citizens of Memphis who are the owners of the utility. I think it's important as we enter our third century here. As you know, we've gone through a comprehensive plan for the City of Memphis, the first one in 38 years. We have a transit vision now. We're doing a lot of forward looking for all of the infrastructure that we have in the city. And so I think it's completely appropriate that we also take a look now at Memphis Light, Gas, and Water, the future there, putting a roadmap in place, as JT said, an IRP that will be the roadmap for service of the future. Irrespective of what the outcome is, it's worth doing that introspection, setting a new course for the utility that is consistent with and complementary to the vision for the city. I would also say that part of our comprehensive plan is a climate action plan. And to this point, it has not been the forefront of discussion in the City of Memphis. What percentage of our energy comes from renewables, that kind of thing. But that is going to be part of the Memphis 3.0, the climate action plan that comes out of that. And so that will also help inform, I think, this IRP.
Okay, and we'll dig into more of that as we go. But I want to get, Mark, you are serving on what's called the Power Supply Advisory Team. It's about 20 people, I believe, neighborhood activists. I think Doug is on that group, if I'm not mistaken. People from MLGW, so a broad base. But you're very much associated with the business community and Boyle Investment in terms of bringing in existing companies here in Memphis that expand, companies that come in. So from your perspective, from a business perspective, are you concerned about this decision? Because to a degree that maybe people don't understand, the TVA provides economic development incentives. The role of MLGW in terms of business recruitment is important. TVA can be important in that. Are you worried about this direction, or do you see promise from a business development point of view in this direction that the city and the MLGW is looking at?
Well, really just, based what JT said, what Doug just said, it's the process of studying it and seeing where we are. I don't think the business community is at all threatened. Specifically, the real estate community is not threatened by this effort, I think, again, as Doug just said, it's in the best interest of the community. Probably a process that should be almost ongoing and certainly should have probably been reviewed at different times in the past. If you lose power to your home, it obviously affects you immediately, but I don't think people really think about the importance of reliability and cost of services. MLGNW is a unique provider, as Doug said, the largest three service provider that's municipally owned in the United States. And it's always been an advantage, really, I think, for the business community to have MLGNW be part of the city. I mean, where we pick up the phone and call the president of MLGNW, which is my 47th year at Boyle. And I've called the president of MLGNW before with a problem. I've not called JT as of yet, but JT really just got here. It's a huge asset for Memphis.
Yeah.
And we need reliable power, and we need it to be as cost effective as possible. And this process is going to tell us either we're already there or there's some things we can do to make it better.
And I should say, just before I go to Bill, this power supply advisory team, this 20 people or so, you all are advising. You're not taking votes, I don't think, right? It's not a determining body in terms of what MLGW does, but it was a group that you set up.
The team is actually providing input to us as we seek to make that decision as we go through this integrated resource plan process. We need the input from everybody on that team and others so that we can be certain that we're considering all the factors that are necessary as we make. It's a huge decision. And so we want to make sure we get diverse opinions and diverse input around the kinds of things like Doug talked about, renewables and what type of generation, if at all, and what kinds of services need to be provided and the value of economic development, et cetera.
Okay.
So that's all a part of it.
Bill Treese.
So JT, we've heard so much about there's another provider other than TVA. There are other providers other than TVA that could save the city hundreds of millions of dollars in the rates that Gas and Water pays for the electricity that comes to our homes and businesses. Is this determination as simple as this is what the rate is and it's cheaper than TVA?
Well, no, it's really not that simple. And the reason it's not that simple is because as we think about this, I try to explain it this way. We purchase right now in bulk. Just like if you went to a wholesaler, out in the community and bought a bunch of stuff and sold it at a ball game individual, we purchase electricity that way. We buy in bulk and then we sell it out individually to homes and businesses across the community. One of the things that we have to consider is one cost is how much we pay for that. The other cost that we have to consider is what does it take to get it from that entity so that we can make sure we have it here as we need it. We have four delivery points right now from TVA. Which provides us a lot of diversity. So sometimes when outages occur on their side of the fence, we never know it because we have a lot of ability to move things around. Customers never see that. So we have to keep in mind the importance of how do we get that power? Would we need to construct generation plants? Would we need to get a lot more renewables on our footprint? Would we need to maybe construct additional high voltage transmission lines to access that other energy? All of those things need to be considered, and those are all costs that we have to think about in order to get to that low cost energy. And then what you want to make sure you do, as I say, is do no harm. So you want to make sure you're no worse off than you are today after you've done all of that, and that ultimately customers at the bottom line on their bills see the real benefit.
Doug, we heard so much during the earlier part of budget season about Gas and Water's infrastructure and the need to upgrade it. If TVA is no longer the supplier of electric power to Memphis Light, Gas and Water, does the city administration get involved or have to get involved with some of the changes in infrastructure that transition involves?
Well, I think from the council oversight perspective, as they approve the MLGW budget, which is one of the things that they consider this year, is how much and when do we invest in infrastructure? I think the universal conclusion is we need to invest in our infrastructure. I think that's what caused a lot of the interest early on was, if we can save all of this money, we'll have a big pot of money that we can immediately invest in infrastructure. So to the extent that City Council approves the budget, they approve the apportionment and the allocation and spending on infrastructure, I think it's incumbent upon the city to make sure that, we are investing here, because there's a difference, as Mark talked about, reliable delivery of power up until the point where MLGW receives it, and then it's the transmission and distribution of power within the MLGW network that we're really talking about. So there's two kinds of reliability, I think, and JT would back me up on that. It's internal to our system, and then it's the reliability of the power external to our system. And I do want to add just one piece. It's not just about what's the cheapest. I think even individual citizens, there are some things that you can decide to get just the cheapest. But what we want is the best value. I often equate it to a vehicle purchase. You know, you could get the very cheapest vehicle, it's still a car, or you get one, I related it to a car that no longer exists, the Yugo, it's still a car. It was the cheapest car, it was like $3,000. Or you could buy a Honda, and a lot of people opted for the Honda because it's still a car, but it was the best value. They looked at the overall cost of ownership, the features, the reliability, and chose to spend slightly more money for that product. I think that's what we're really looking for here, is what's the best total value. Mm-hmm. It's not just the single price point. So that's one of the things I think JT and Mark and I are really interested in, is what is the all-in cost? What's the best value? If, as you said, Bill, it's hundreds of millions of dollars of savings, then it's incumbent upon us, and we have to take the responsibility to study this seriously, because if there's that much money in the balance, then we got to make the best possible decision and consider all factors.
Could the structure, the relationship between Memphis Light, Gas, and Water and City of Memphis government, could that relationship change in the process?
I don't believe that's ever been contemplated. No one has ever put that forth to my knowledge, and at least I'll speak for the City of Memphis, and I think JT, we don't see any benefit to changing that relationship.
Okay. Mark, serving on this power supply advisory team, it seems to me that's got to be very challenging, just putting your arms around everything that's involved here. Where do you start in your consideration of this whole question?
Well, it's you're right, it's very complicated. JT started our session with telling us how complicated it was, and I really think it's highly unlikely that anybody that's on this task force is going to become an expert in the delivery of power. But it is a group that is very diversified in terms of business interests, community interests, and I think it's to look at the whole picture. You know, Doug's talking about value, and I think that this group of very diverse group is going to be able to at least give a different perspective than the people just looking at it from the nuts and bolts and the technical engineering side. I mean, it's a very complicated undertaking, and I think our goal is to be done by the end of this calendar year. And as good as our leadership team at MLG&W has, I don't think we're going to be experts. Mm-hmm. I think that we're going to be able to understand what's going on, and I think we'll be able to provide the kind of support and feedback that they're looking for. But it's a big engineering question, yeah. I think.
Let's talk some, with 12 minutes left here, JT, some of the just nuts and bolts logistics of what this would take. You've got to give, MLGW has to give TVA a 5 years notice that you're going to move, right?
Yeah, so if we opted to do that, we would provide contractually a 5-year notification.
And would you, in the current contract with TVA was a 10, 20, how long was the contract?
Well,
that's
I call it an evergreen. It doesn't really have a termination date, but it does have that 5-year notification, so that in the event that we opt to do something different that doesn't include full requirements from them, we give them that notice.
And it's an 80-year relationship, right?
We've been served by them for over 80 years. Yeah.
The main provider that people talk about you looking at is MISO, and I'm going to
MISO.
MISO, thank you so much. MISO is the soup. MISO provides is a cooperative on the other side of the river in Arkansas that people have talked about. They could provide power.
Yes.
Is that true? That's one of the main alternatives out there, or has that been overblown?
Certainly, it's one of the potential alternatives. MISO is really not. I guess the thing to clarify is MISO is really not a TVA. MISO is not a, they don't really own assets. TVA actually owns assets. They own plants and lines and power. MISO is an independent system operator. And in the utility industry, they actually serve, they have a lot of generation. at their disposal that they actually control through people bring their generation to the table. MISO kind of oversees that generation and how it's actually dispersed. So someone like a utility could opt to become a member of MISO and then take energy from that system.
Would MLGW have to bring its own power to that system?
Well, typically,
typically
companies that come to MISO do bring something to the table. We've been looking at a lot of different options even before we put this team together. We finally decided to go ahead and do the IRP. But we don't, of course, generation, we don't own our own generation, so we would not be bringing generation into that.
To that extent, I think some people are probably, who don't follow the stuff that closely, are probably confused, and they think the Allen plant, the new plant that was just built down near President's Island and that replaced the old coal plant, they kind of probably assumed that was not only an MLGW plant, but they sort of assumed, like, you know, you got a generator in your backyard that powers whatever, that was powering all of Memphis. But
no,
it's not quite that.
It's not that simple.
That plant is owned by the TVA, and it is a part, but not the sole provider of power to Memphis.
Right, and so that plant actually provides electricity onto what's called the grid or the network of wires that gets electricity all across the valley.
Right.
So we don't necessarily have Memphis, and this is really a benefit right now. We don't have a dedicated plant serving us. We actually are blessed to have the benefit of the plurality of generation that is all across the valley. And that's why it's a very reliable source. Right,
and then,
now.
So a couple other things have been talked about. One is, I mean, would MLGW make an offer to buy that plant? It's a, quote, billion-dollar plant that was built, gas-fired, replacing. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the controversies with the water use there. But is that on the table, that MLGW would make an offer to buy it?
Yeah, so that's, again, part of the reason we're doing this process, right?
Okay.
So at the end of the day, when we go through the process, if it's determined that we should acquire generation of some sort, that may be an option. Something like that may be an option, but that would not be enough to power the customers that we serve. So we would have to get actually more than just that plant.
So, and then does that get into that? There's this kind of what I would think of as sort of a hybrid plan. There, some comes from MISO, some comes from TVA, some comes from other sources unidentified, at least in this conversation.
Yeah,
I mean, is that a possibility as well?
Well, again, at this point, everything's a possibility because we haven't really finalized anything. And one amendment I'll put on what was said a little bit earlier is this process, the IRP process, typically goes about 12 to 18 months in normal time frame. Ours will probably bleed over into 2020, because of the nature of this process to be able to do the evaluation the right way. And that's what we're going to do.
Well, I'm going to go to Bill in a second. One more thing. When you were on the show a month or two ago, we talked about, and Doug alluded to it, the maintenance, the deferred maintenance. You were trying to get a rate increase done.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't quite happen the way you all had hoped.
Mm-hmm.
Again, tell me again, tell viewers again, what you guys identify, not just as ongoing maintenances, but deferred maintenance and overdue maintenance. It's what, $700 million or more?
Well, the plan we brought to the table was really, and it just wasn't just electric, it was gas, water, and electric, so it was the whole thing. And that was a five-year plan. It was a little over $700 million that we were wanting to put forth. And it included a lot of things, not just equipment. It was additional tree trimming, it was automation, it was adding technology, doing some things to help improve reliability, not just on the electric side, but also improving our infrastructure and our water production facilities as well. So that was the total package, the $730 million. But most of it, of course, was on the electric side. And what we're talking about there is really doing what I call, we do maintenance all the time. When stuff breaks, we fix it. When a pole goes down, we go back and put it up. But at some point, you have to actually invest in your infrastructure so that you avoid some of the outages and the lengths of outages that we have to incur. That's what we were trying to do in that regard.
I was going to go, Bill, part of what Doug alluded to was council. I mean, people get excited when they hear there might be a couple hundred million dollars in savings by switching from TVA, and then they look at this $750 million in proactive, you know, work that you all want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ironically make it harder for you to get the rate increase passed because people see this potential savings, but that savings doesn't come for another 5 years?
Well, it's even more complicated than that, but to sort of shorten it, it's kind of like someone says, hey, you could save, 80% of your gasoline costs. I can show you how to do that, right? So you can save, if you spend $1,000 a year, you can save $800 a year. You just got to get this hybrid electric car. Well, you got to buy the car to get the savings, right? So when you think about it, at the end of the day, the net effect, you've saved on the gasoline, but you've had to make other investments. Right. So what we're trying to make sure folks understand is it's not just as simple as you get to save this, and there's assumptions built into the calculation of all those savings and the studies we've seen that we want to review more closely, and that's what the IRP will do.
Yeah,
can I just offer something too, just as an analogy here? What we're really talking about is, I think about like a general contractor. If you're going to build your house, you can hire a general contractor that's turnkey. I want you to build me a house. In this case, we have turnkey general contractor relationship with TVA. I want you to provide me power. They do everything necessary behind the scenes to do that. I could choose to save a lot of money by building my own house and becoming my own general contractor, but that means I need to bring some of my own capabilities to bear. I need to have contracts with all the subcontractors. So could I save money? Yes. Do I have the capability internally to do so? I have to evaluate my own skill set. Maybe in the case of MLGB, I have to bring on some new staff to do that management for me. So I come to this table in the PSAT agnostic. I want to make sure we have the best value. We got to make a decision about what's the best fit for us. And that's why we have a diverse group of stakeholders like Mark at the table to make sure that what we can do for JT, I think the best thing is say, here are the things that we value most in Memphis. We want reliable power. We want to be able to make sure that we keep our rates reasonable and competitive. Whatever those things happen to be, that's what our real role is, so that they can make an informed decision, whatever that happens to be, whether we keep a turnkey operator or we ask them to bring more staff on and manage more of it internally. But that's why it is a robust discussion and it's multivariate, and we have to really dig into every one of those to make sure we have the best solution.
5 minutes, Bill.
Mark, it's also a discussion that has some really high dollar figures and talk about a five-year notice. Do you think some of this is about a deal, putting together a deal, bargaining with whoever's at the table? A lot of the talk has been just about, well, TVA will come to the table, surely. But I mean bargaining on a broad level to put together what amounts to a deal.
Well, it could be, and I mean that could easily be part of what comes out of this. I think TVA has already made some suggestions that they might be willing to do some things that they have not been doing in the past as relates to our infrastructure. That was just, I would say, a passing comment. It's no commitment, but I think that the calculus of this whole process may create a variety of changes. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty simple. If it benefits Memphis, it's going to be great for everybody. And the redundancy, which JT mentioned, getting supplied from four different points from TVA, that kind of thinking goes all the way down to the level of a building. Mm-hmm. Office buildings, we look for redundancy. How many different directions can we get power for certain mission critical type users? And what we can't do is save money and trade for it reliability, redundancy, et cetera, because we'll actually do more harm than good. Just because we save money doesn't mean that Memphis is going to have an acceptable or better situation.
And as we go on this value journey, Bill, one thing to remember is I've shared this with TVA's senior leadership, and they're being great through this process. We didn't embark on this to get them to the table to make a deal, right? We embarked on this to, as Doug said, to determine what's the best value for the customers, the folks here in Shelby County. And to that extent, we're out of the gate, and we'll be doing this until we're done. If TVA brings something to the table, that's great. But we're gonna exhaust this process to ensure we've got the optimal, best value at the end of the day. We'll compare that against whatever's out there.
In the event that there is a decision to give TVA the five-year notice, does that close the door on going back to TVA in some form or in the original form?
We will assume that in the event that we provide notice, because we want to maintain the integrity of the process, we would assume that if we provide notice to TVA, if we were to do that, we would assume that we would not have that option on the backside. Now, whether we would or not as a reality, who knows? But on the front end, as we plan, we have to assume that once we give them that notice, there's a reason that's structured into the contract. So we would operate as if we don't have recourse with them. And that's why it's so important that, as I've said before, you measure twice and cut once, because we'd have to assume that we wouldn't have that recourse.
Real briefly, solar, Doug mentioned renewable energy, 53 megawatts mm-hmm. opened up in the Millington area, 525 solar panels, 525,000,
half a million
solar panels. Is it $100 million that was spent? I mean, that was the number. It was a big number in the story. briefly, 53 megawatts compares to what in terms of the Allen gas plant? What is that?
Well, the Allen plant, it's about 5%. The Allen plant's about 1,100 megawatts, so it's a little less than 5% of that. And but again, it serves its purpose. Solar is much more competitive today than it was 5 years ago. And once storage is at the point where it needs to be, it can be even more competitive, probably.
With a minute left, Doug, last week you may have heard that we had Joel Weinshanker on the show. He is the head managing partner of Elvis Presley Enterprises, Graceland. Where do things stand with Elvis Presley Enterprises? He made a lot of, he threw a lot of bombs, and people can watch that show online or read about it. But he accused, let me jump with 30 seconds. He accused the Jason Wexler, president of the Grizzlies, of really controlling this whole process and controlling what the city is doing. First, is Jason Wexler, the Grizzlies, are they controlling what the city does in this process?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Where do things stand from your point of view?
Our position remains unchanged. We have given the course ahead if they want to do additional development down on the Graceland campus. We've given them the path ahead for how they should apply for those incentives and what can be included and what can't. And should they decide that they want to do manufacturing and decide that they need an incentive like a pilot, then they should apply for it. We've given them that advice 2 years ago, and we keep that advice today.
Not enough time, but thank you for answering that quickly. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for joining us. Join us again next week.